Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 19. Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobha dayashchaye cheta etarana vidhang stitvang satve prasidati. Translation and purport. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Purport. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atma Nandi or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Om Agyanatim Anandasham Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. What can we say? Srila Prabhupada has stated something unlimitedly profound, actually. Unlimitedly profound. The points here are absolutely amazing. The first point, a living being in his normal constitutional position is fully absorbed in spiritual bliss. In other words, if you're not a pure devotee, you're in an abnormal state of consciousness. You know, some kind of weird mental disease you have. If you are not an Atmanandi who is seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye at every minute, you have a weird mental disease. That's a fact. Well, that's our position right now. We're not in our normal state of consciousness because our normal state of consciousness is Brahma-Bhuta or Atmanandi. The karmi, they think they're very happy and satisfied. We could hear them all night long and the party going on over there. And they didn't stop until about 4 a.m. Just when it was time for Mangalarti, then they went into Tamagun, you see. They may think they're enjoying like anything. They were shrieking and, you know, like barking dogs the whole night, thinking, yes, we're enjoying. But it's just an artificial attempt. They're just trying to squeeze some pleasure out of this material body. If there was any pleasure to be had for this material body, it was long time ago squeezed out. Punak punascharvita charvananam. In the U.S., when I was a kid growing up, there used to be a popular song on the radio. The song was about punak punascharvita charvananam, actually. It's amazing. Like, you know, back at about, you know, 1960-something. There's a song called "Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight?" So, if there was any pleasure to be had in this material world, you see, it is a long time ago, chewed out. There's nothing left. But still they go on squeezing harder, harder. Yes, there must be some pleasure in this Raja Tamas. Let me squeeze even harder, you see, get some of that juice of sense gratification. But it is futile. It is absolutely futile. They will never taste bliss. It is simply a shadow of bliss. That's all. I think I'm happy. Forget it. It is simply misery. This Shuddha Sattva state here that Prabhupada is speaking of is an incredible state of consciousness. You can see Krishna face to face, eye to eye at every minute. Premanjana charito bhakti valochanena santasya daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yam sham shundanam chintyagana swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. When one actually becomes a lover of God, then you can see Him at every minute. Many people claim to love God. They go to the church and they say, "Dear God, please give me my daily bread, my daily punjas flower." You see. But that's not love of God, that's love of bread. They have that song, "Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk saree. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea in Singhatoka. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Yes, I love God. That's nonsense. You're just flattering God. It's like a business deal. My dear Lord, I will wave a little flame for you if you give me a house, if you give me a car. I'll offer you some incense and flame. I'll offer you a little sugar candy once a week in the morning. You see? If you give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me. This is love of sense gratification. That's all. They simply take God as their order supplier. Such persons will never go back to Godhead. They will never see God. Unless they can come to this platform of Shuddha Sattva. So, the obvious question here is, how do we taste this nectar? How do we get out of our present entanglement in Rajagun and Tamagun and come to the platform of Sattva, Shuddha Sattva Gun? Now, there is a distinction here. We do talk about Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattvagun. So what is the difference between Sattvagun and Shuddha Sattva? It's a pretty important distinction. Many people act in the mode of goodness. And they build hospitals, they dig wells in the villages, there's charity work, you know, they help old ladies across the street, you know, sattvic activities. Help a friend in need. Sattvic thing. Very nice thing. So why they do not see Krishna face to face? Because there is a huge difference between sattva-gun and shuddha-sattva. The difference is, in sattva-gun, there is still contamination of rajagun and tamagun. That's one. Tamagun and Rajagun are still present in Sattvagun to a small degree. But when Sattvagun becomes completely free of even the slightest, most infinitesimal tinge of passion and or ignorance, then that is Shuddha Sattva. So the obvious question for a person who has any brain whatsoever in their head, the obvious question would be, no offense to those who don't, but what can we say? We got to tell the truth. The obvious question is, how can I get to this point of Shuddha Sattva? Here I am struggling, you know, chanting my rounds. I'm trying to serve my Guru Maharaj's mission, serve Prabhupada's mission. You know, trying to conquer lust, anger, and greed in my heart. Learn how to love the Vaishnavas. Learn how to, you know, become fixed nicely in Krishna consciousness. So how can I get to this stage of Shuddha Sattva? This is the obvious question we should be asking. Well, the first thing is we have to actually understand what the goal is. You see. First thing is we have to understand that this Krishna consciousness process will bring us to the point where we can actually see Krishna at every minute, within and without. You'll be able to look out at the, you know, the scene here, and you'll be able to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. You'll be able to see him within your heart also. You will be able to extract Krishna everywhere, in all times, in all places, from everything. You will see everything in relation to Krishna. Nothing you will see is separate from Krishna. So how do we get to that? Well, we have to understand it's actually our duty to come to that point. That's the first thing. It's our duty. Prabhupada personally instructed me. He gave me an order. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. It's an order the Prabhupada personally gave me in a letter. He ordered me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. So we have to understand that Prabhupada wants us to become pure devotees. That's our duty. It's not sense gratification to want to become a pure devotee. That, well, you know, I must be motivated by desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So better is to stay fallen, you know. I just remain a servant of my senses so I don't get puffed up. And that's a very devious trick of Kali, of Maya. Don't fall for that trick. Well, I shouldn't become a pure devotee because then I would be proud. No! Pure devotee means one who is free from pride. We should strive to achieve the platform of pure Krishna bhakti. We must. If you don't, you're cultivating desire seeds, material desire seeds in the heart, and you'll never become happy. Ahaitaki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Krishna is saying that, actually Bhagavatam is saying, that devotional service must be without any interruption. You have to have it going constantly in all times, places, and circumstances. And it must be a haituki without any material motive. And unless it is like that, you won't be fully satisfied. So have you ever wondered why you're not completely happy even though you're practicing Krishna consciousness? Have you ever wondered that? It's because you haven't kicked out all the material desires from your heart yet. So we have to come to that position of desiring to have all the material desires removed from our heart. And then, how do you actually do it? That's the next question. The answer is right there in your bead bag. Practice chanting the holy names on a regular daily basis and strictly, carefully, always try to avoid the 10 offenses while you're chanting. Now what about avoiding the 10 offenses while you're not chanting? You see? Is that alright? When you're not chanting, you can commit the 10 offenses, it's all right? No, of course not. Because actually we're meant to be chanting 24 hours a day, and Prabhupada actually told us, he said, everything we do is chanting. He said, when you're chanting, you're chanting. When you're reading, you're chanting. When you're writing, you're chanting. When you're taking prasadam, you're chanting. He said, everything is chanting except for sleeping. That is waste. Of course, we have to do that, so in one sense it's not waste, but you know, it's time. Any time we sleep unnecessarily beyond what the body needs is definitely a waste. So we have to learn how to eliminate that. So no, we must avoid these 10 offenses always, because you know, if you can't fake it, that I will, you know, I will go on doing nonsense, and when I get my beads, and I'll, you know, become pure when I'm chanting my rounds. So anyway, this is a very important verse. We have to take it very, very seriously. And if we do so, we will come to the position of complete happiness. Completely free from the modes of nature, seeing Krishna eye to eye at every minute. So we're very much appreciating the nice preaching that you are doing here in Singhatoka. May you have all blessings upon you from your Guru Maharaj, from Srila Prabhupada, and from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make a spiritual revolution in this community, to make hundreds and thousands of light pure devotees here. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Any objections? Corrections? Resolutions? Revolutions?
Yeah. Just one comment on this. Unless you come above these three modes, you cannot see things in the right perspective.
In the right?
Right perspective.
Yeah, that's true. Another nice point is here that it came out of this purport. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. Someone has some personal agenda for name, fame, distinction, and they use the dress of the devotee to try to promote that. You see, they will never. Doesn't work. Someone who's a devotee is qualified with all the good qualities of God. Someone who is into tamasic and rajasic activities, they may pose as a devotee, but they're not accepted by Krishna as a devotee. Their bhakti will never be accepted. It's simply a shadow of bhakti. So we have to be very, very pure and exemplary in our Krishna consciousness, in the way that we think, the way that we speak, and the way that we act in all times, all places, and circumstances. So, any questions? Before we head on down the road. It's your last chance. Don't be shy. The only stupid question is the one you had but you didn't ask it. That's stupid. You see? To ask the question, that is intelligence. It's a sign of intelligence. One who inquires, that is a sign of intelligence. So that's it. We thank you very much. Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.